Father, we give thanks for this day. Thanks for the opportunity to be right here. Father, we ask that you lead, guide, and direct us in the decisions that's made. Bless this county and the public in this county. Father, we ask your guidance on all things. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Veterans present, please stand. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Barrett.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Cates.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendrick.
Here.
Lahowski.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Shock.
Here.
All right. On this special call forum court meeting, we're working on the agenda. I felt like at least three items could be talked about. I don't know what else to be out in no particular order. Funding probably is the big item for the meeting. Sure there'll be some dealings on the jail expansion. Other criminal justice needs I didn't list. Core court needs or proposals because I didn't have access to it and all, but at this time, I'm for the business of this meeting. I'm opening the floor up for the business to start on this meeting. Pleasure.
Your Honor, if I might.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Your Honor, we have, in our last quorum court meeting, we approved a COPS grant that we authorized our sheriff to go out and utilize a federal grant that was available to him that takes some matching funds from the county. During that meeting, there were some objections to that, and one of the objections was that there was not adequate funding. And so coming on the heels of us approving that COPS grant funding, 11-2, I think that it's imperative as a court that we look for different ways to fund this. I've had several discussions with some folks, with some former quorum court members, had a discussion with a former county judge, had a discussion with you, I've had a discussion with the sheriff. And so there seems to be several different ideas about where to get funding from. One of the places that was proposed to me that we go look for funding was from outstanding court fines and fees. And I was originally led to believe that of that outstanding AR, the accounts receivable, that the Sheriff's Department could collect up to 75% of that. So, you know, immediately I kind of did some math, and you know, if we just collected, you know, 10% of what's owed, and what's owed appears to be somewhere between 19 and 20 million. Now there is some restitution in there that I would think would not be available to for those funds to be collected upon. But again, between that 19 and 20 million, you know, if we just collected, heck, 10% of that a year, that's $2 million. And if the sheriff gets 75%, that's 1.5 million. Well, after doing some investigation with the county attorney and the county treasurer, that is incorrect. There is no set fees of those outstanding court fines and fees as a whole that goes to the Sheriff's Department. There are some specific funds that the Sheriff's Department gets up to 12%, if I'm not mistaken, of those specific funds. The rest of that money goes into county general. So of that money that goes into county general, Scott looks at past year's collections, and through that, then basically budgets what is anticipated to be collected in the current year. And I think in the current year, Scott, if I'm not mistaken, it's $853,000.
Steve, we're talking about a revenue series there that's $853,000. Yeah. That's more than just one line item.
Right.
That's multiple things.
Right.
I believe there's a sheet in here in the packet that I gave you. If you'll flip with me to page 3. That 853 that's projected for this, I'll give you just a minute. That 853 that's projected for this year is for that 7400 series, okay? That circuit court fines and forfeitures, district court fines and forfeitures, admin of justice from the county and admin of justice from the city. So that's all those different line items tied together to get to that estimate there.
And Mr. Treasurer, if I'm not mistaken, all of those fees and fines go into County General.
Correct.
Of which that money has already been budgeted for and spoken for. So, again, unless you can make some great strides there to make that money come due to the county that is owed to the county, again, we're right back to where we are right now. I mean, we don't have a steady revenue source. Now, quite frankly, I think there was a law passed in the 17th session that allows for counties to go and, I'm going to use an incorrect term, levy or garnish Arkansas taxpayers' tax refunds for fines and fees that are owed. And for a couple reasons, we've not taken advantage of that yet as a county. I think that there are plans being made for us to have that information readily done by September, so that the next filing season, 21, we will get our share. Talked to some folks in some different counties, and that's a real hit or miss thing. Some years it's a big collection, some years it's a smaller collection. I think one of our mayors in the county that I spoke to said that their city collected sometimes $10,000 or $12,000. So again, it is available. But again, those fines and fees are going to go into County General. Those will not be Sheriff's Department fund specific. And as we all know, every department wants a portion of County General, and every department says that they have greater needs. So that leaves us to where we are today. How do we fund the COPS grant? You know, we've got a general improvement fund that we've talked about and approved to go forward on architectural plans for an addition to Unit 2. That's great. Former Sheriff Shaw can probably tell you, former County Judge Scroggin can probably tell you, one of the failures of previous courts was that when we built the new jails, we didn't budget for the new positions that was going to create. And so, again, we may have the building part of that taken care of through our improvement fund, the set-aside that we do, the $1 million that we do every year, but we're going to have new positions that are going to be needed in that jail as well. So there's a need there. There's also a need for an animal shelter and staffing it. And I'm not even talking about building the animal shelter. I'm just talking about the staffing thereof, which, you know, in my mind might fall under the Criminal Justice Sheriff's Department as well. So I don't have the answers. I think that that's what this meeting is for, is to discuss why we do it. Before we get deep into discussion, though, I'd like for the sheriff to come forward and basically tell us what he needs. I've kind of given you an overview, but I can't speak for the sheriff. I think it's imperative that he come and let us know what his needs are.
Thank you, Justice Good, and thank you, Judge and Court. I appreciate, you know, y'all's time and opportunity to be able to speak to you guys. I sure appreciate the mayors that's come out, and I want to thank them as well as my deputies and staff that's with us. You know, I think that a broad picture of looking at the Fulton County Sheriff's Department over a lengthy time frame over the several past years, they've always been understaffed. I think you can ask Sheriff Shock when he was sheriff, Justice Shock when he was sheriff, previous sheriffs probably before that, Matt Rice, when you come in, and we were always underfunded, and we've always been understaffed as far as personnel. We've been that under-equipped as well. But you don't hear us complain about it. You just hear us when the call comes out, we answer the call. The only thing that's in previous administrations, they've talked about it, they've looked at things that they could try to do, and those things have been pushed to the max before this very court, previous courts, that for one reason or another wasn't able to move forward on helping the sheriff's department with their needs. The first years of me being sheriff, it was just kind of the same story to some extent. I've developed relationships. I've formed relationships with the courts, with people around this county. I've got relationships with leaders across the state of Arkansas to be able to communicate with and try to learn and streamline and do what I can do to get things as narrow as I can within the Fauquier County Sheriff's Department so we can run more efficiently. And I feel I've done that. I want to thank this court for these six new positions and being able to use, and Judge Baker, a big part of it, of getting behind the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department to be able to utilize this COPS grant to give us six new deputies. That's huge. But I will tell you, that is not enough. But you know what? It is so much better than what we had. We're on the right track as far as improvement in that aspect. We're excited about that. The morale of these other deputies, knowing that there's going to be an additional person beside them, is way more important than these salaries that we get, which is another problem, which means that the salaries that we are actually making the deputies, they can leave and go to any, you just name any law enforcement agency that's substantial for the county around us and surrounding areas, and they can get a job there. And so we lose a lot of our deputies. We have a large turnover rate because of that, because of the salaries that's there. I'm not here trying to promote salaries. I'm just saying this is the issues that we have and why we cannot retain the deputies that we would normally have. So above and beyond that, I kind of broke some notes here. I'm going to go through these notes and kind of express some of what our needs are. We have a lot of moving parts within the Fauquier County Sheriff's Department. It's just not the patrol deputies that's out here. It's our criminal investigation division. We've addressed our patrol problem. That is our most critical. Those are the ones that's out every night, every day, throughout this county, answering calls by themselves, waiting for backup to get there. And y'all took a step forward on that. But we have a lot of moving parts. CID is one of them. CID needs help. If you hear my stats at the end of each during the court meetings, you'll see how many cases are open and how many cases are closed during that previous month. And it can range up to 100 new cases that the Criminal Investigation Division opens up, and then they'll wind up closing somewhere around 30 to 40 of those cases. And so those cases are getting piled up. We have citizens out of the county that cannot, whose homes are getting broken into, trailers are being stolen and things. The deputy takes a report, they come to our CID, get to them, CID assigns it to an investigator, investigator goes out and investigates it until it dead ends. And the only thing that we can do beyond that is instead of being aggressive in that and tracking and looking, any leads we get, we do go down those roads, but we can do so much more with more investigators. That's not to mention the society and the times that we're in. There was one night a couple of weeks ago, we had shootings at both ends of the campus. We had people shot. We had four people in a car that was shot in Greenbrier. We gladly assisted them and worked that with the Greenbrier Police Department. At the same time, we had shootings that was occurring and people being shot at the south end of the county. So our times have changed in that aspect. But outside of in CID, everybody's involved. You got CID going to the south shooting, you got CID going to Greenbrier, you got a patrol deputies at both places, and you got myself and my chief deputy at both of the places. So then let's move to the detention officers, and then let's move to the transport officers, and then the court staff security that's there, and our dispatchers, and then all of our administrative. So we have a lot of different moving parts, but we always answer the call. Child deaths, homicides, fatal accidents, and the list never ends. When you need us to come, we come. We answer the calls in all of these mayors' jurisdictions in their locales. We're there for them and for their backup at their local police office, police departments that they got. We're there if they need us. We always go to these. That's normal for us. Things that have changed in today's time is training, equipment, and technology. We're so far behind in our technology with Fauquier County Sheriff's Department. Fifth largest department, or fifth largest county in the state of Arkansas. This court has shown that by approving the six new positions with the COPS grant and the jail expansion, y'all have shown y'all's dedication that the majority of this court is wanting to do something, and it's time to do that. You look at today's times and where we're at, you think about what's going on in society right now with the rioting and the protesting and all those things that comes to nature. We're not equipped for riots, but we better get that way. So we're in the process of doing it. We're getting face shields and helmets so we don't get hit in the head with bricks. We're getting shields for our officers to be able to protect themselves. How are we doing that? It's not in our training budget. Our training budget is ridiculous. We're actually having to go out to personal employment companies, and they are actually donating money to be able to purchase these things so that we can equip ourselves with them. Those are the things we've been doing for generations, for a long time. But we equip ourselves, and that's 10, because they're about $700 a piece. So we're going to equip 10 deputies with it. And I've got, with this new tally here, I didn't tally it up, close to 30, 35 deputies in between there that needs this equipment. And to be honest with you, when these things happen, it's not just them. It's all of our CID. We're a total of about 55 to 60 law enforcement officers certified, and the chief and I, for some safety equipment to be able to deal with some of the things that happened. Those are the things that's just happened in the last couple of weeks, and they continue. So I gave you the three major things that we need. Training is huge. The things that we do as deputies, the things that we do as law enforcement, we have to have the training that is required. That's the very, very minimum, the required training. Is that enough? There's no way that's. So we need to be able to reach out and afford the opportunity for our deputies to be able to go get this specialized training, advanced training, all the training that we can possibly get. Because what that does is that actually helps communities when they go out and they have that professionalism and those standards that has been distilled in them. Our whole process, and through me alone in 35 years of law enforcement, has been a build of nothing but training. And we have to continue that, because then you operate how you train. And it is so vitally important. We need to be able to afford that. Technology, all of our equipment within the Unit 1 and Unit 2, those are vitally important as well. When we talk about our JMS system, our jail management system, SOMS, our CAD system, and all of these things are required. They're getting older and older. So there's just an abundance of those type of things that's out there that we have to address, but there's no way we can. We deal with an issue when it comes up, and we find a way to get things fixed, and we shouldn't have to operate like that. We should have things ready to go. If something breaks down, we've got a place where we can pull it, and it's there to be able to do the maintenance. With that said, I think this court's doing the right thing. right now by being here today, by looking at every possible avenue to fund these positions and our needs before ever going to the public and asking for a tax increase. I think we owe that to the citizens. That's where my heart's at. It's always been like that. I always think that we should make sure, before we ever ask the citizens for a tax increase, that we should look within and make sure it's not within our age or within our county. And I want to, and one of the things I want to do right now is I want to kind of draw a line in the sand. And I want to say, this is not us against them. It is not. I don't want the road department, I don't want anybody to ever think on the reallocation when we're looking at splitting a difference in the criminal justice tax that this is us against them, because that is not the case whatsoever. We just need some help, and we need to pull together. I support every agency that's represented here, every law enforcement agency, every city. I support each one of them. I want to make sure that we understand that. We're always being asked to do more. If it's not dogs or with the animal control, can we take that on? It's tough on us, but you know what? If we're asked to, we accomplish it. We make it happen. And we're willing to do that. And we'll never say no. We'll always try to figure out a way of making things happen if I've got to go do it myself. And we've done that a lot of times. So I can tell you the sheriff's office is underfunded, and our streamlined expenses absorbs 95% to 99% of our anticipated revenue every year. That's where we fall out. We spend everything that we've revenue. It is very little turnback money that comes back to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department. So the two things we're looking for that's already been mentioned here today is we're looking to fund these six new positions, and we're also looking for revenue to be able to fund the anticipation of a jail expansion transpiring, which could require up to 10 more detention officers. So we're tired of being in such a need, and we work with what we have. And while we're doing that, we're keeping our fingers crossed currently. And it has been that way for a long, long time. Like I said, we're dealing with riots, and we need equipment and training. This is an addition to a simple thing like this. It's simple, but it's these type of situations that we run in continuously that requires us to add to our budget for the training of the gear and the right, and to be able to purchase the right gear. Thank goodness at least 10 of these right now are going to be donated to us. And as it grows, we can't take on any new problems. We cannot continue to rob Peter to pay Paul within our own budget, because that's exactly what we wind up doing. But Angie always makes it work, makes us shine by doing that. I've already mentioned our budget is ridiculous, but we find ways to make do with just enough to stay in compliance in some areas. Public safety has to grow with this county, and we need to realize that public safety in today's time needs to be the priority. Y'all showed last week that we're on the right track, and that priority has been met by this court and by the judge, and we so thank you for that. Now it's time for this court to determine how that's going to happen. And if any reallocation, I want to be the first to say this, any reallocation hurts our county citizens or disrupts employment of any county employee, I'm not for this. I'll tell you. If there is an abundance somewhere, which I'm hoping we'll find out today, we need the transparency and the discussion to see if it makes sense to take a reallocation vote and send it here in this court and see if it passes to go to a vote in November. And with that, I'll shut up, and I hope I've, the opening statement covered a lot of what our needs are.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That's good. You had the full one. Yes, Sheriff, come.
Yes, sir. So with that, I think that we, as a court, or have been tasked, have been challenged by our sheriff to figure out a way to fund, the COPS grant, the employees for the jail expansion, the animal shelter, the additional training that's going to be needed, the outdated equipment that's going to be needed. There are a list of things that he has laid out there for us to talk about and figure out a way to fund tonight. You know, I'm open for discussion. What do we do? In my mind, there is a pathway forward, but I'm certainly open to suggestions of something different and better if it's out there from any of the quorum court members. I think that this body, this court, the majority of them ran on being fiscally responsible, and most ran on not raising taxes. I did. 12 years ago, when I ran, I promised my constituents I would never vote for a tax increase. And I'm not going to lie to them. So for me, that's out of the question. For some of you, that may be the solution. And if it is, I think we need to talk about that tonight. But if we're going to put any type of a ballot initiative on for this November, we must decide on it by our next full court meeting in August.
Judge, I've got a comment.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Sheriff, thank you for laying out the needs. I know myself personally, and I think a lot of us on this court have seen the needs as they've been presented to us, and I think we've done a good job of addressing those needs without raising taxes. I mean, I believe, if I remember right, we funded new patrol cars. We gave upgrades for money for the jail, for the locks, for cameras. We've got now the funding for the additional deputies that we've done that. So I think we've done a good job in addressing needs that we've, from my perspective, that, it hasn't kept up with some of the other areas within the county that we've seen here. And I think this is definitely something that is, I would like to start getting into the numbers to see what Steve's proposing here. But I definitely think this is a viable option for discussion tonight. That we can see the numbers being proposed, see whether they're adequate for those needs, and, have a discussion on the court for that. But I do think there's more needs there that we need to continue to address, and I think this is definitely one way of doing that, looking at a reallocation, looking at the numbers, seeing the impact there, what it would have on you and everything else, and talk about it and see if the court wants to move forward.
Yes, I've heard somebody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sheriff, this may be for you or maybe for Captain Reed Mueller back there, but we had the conversation, and I think Angie Mustanti did a fantastic job at presenting the conversation that was framed, and all of our mayors were here at that time too, so that's good that they're here again tonight. We're here for the conversation about fines, fees, per diems associated with the jail. Now, Ms. Angie said before, I think last meeting, that there were agreements or there were things passed in city meetings and stuff like that to change slightly the rates. I wonder if y'all could just refresh us on really, because I remember there were basically four different fines and fees on what kind of changed. There was a $5 city fee, and maybe that went up to 20, and that's what changed. Is that the meat of it?
Are filed with the county clerk's office. in correspondence with signing those contracts. So that was also part of the agreements, and to my knowledge, that all passed every one of the city courts as well.
Just a roundabout guess of you just glancing at your numbers, what's the increase that you feel you've seen from last year from the revenues? And maybe Scott, I see you grabbing the mic over there.
So we already in past years have collected the county jail funds. So really the only thing we can look at to compare last year to this year is the city jail fund, because we did not collect it last year, only Conway. That was already in agreement with Conway, but it was at $5. So at this point, in 2019, the total amount collected for city jail funds was $19,877.87. At this point, we have one receipt come in for August for city jail funds, and that's the city of Conway. Including that one receipt for August, we've collected $18,771. So we're right under the total year last year for city jail funds at this point. But like I said, there are some things that I need to bring up with the county attorney, because I believe there possibly might be more collections in there. So.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a follow-up?
I don't think so. I'm good for now. Thank you.
Judge, part of that was probably wasn't a whole lot of taking credit from March and April while we were fighting this fire.
Excuse me, Sam.
Your money's going to be short. Because there wasn't many tickets, there wasn't any court during this last week that handled this fire.
Get ready for the next 18 months, because it's fixing to hang around.
I agree, but there wasn't plenty turned to any guy.
I'll ask a follow-up question on that, Judge Baker, if you'll allow it.
No.
In ordinance 19-14 that we passed, or 19-40 that we passed last year, section one just says that we repeal the old ordinance and replace it with this new one. And section two says, in absence of a written contract regarding jail costs between Faulkner County and any municipality, and that's what you're saying we have now, our written contract. Such agreement having been approved by the Faulkner County Quorum Court. Is that a legal statement? Did it happen?
Counselor, legal question.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't remember if we submitted the proposed language or not. I'd have to go back and check. I don't really remember. I know, honestly, there was a lot of discussion at the end of last calendar year as far as negotiation with the county and the individual municipalities on the exact language proposed and the duties for the county and the city. I don't remember if we had a discussion about that particular language, though.
Okay, those are my two thoughts. Is that I don't remember seeing any contracts come across our desk as a quorum court, but at the same time, I question the legality of that statement to begin with. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how legal it is or not, but it was in the thing. And then it goes down and talks about the per diem cost, basically, that if there's not a contract between the city, the municipalities, and the counties, that it shall be the obligation, shall charge and collect per diem cost of $44 per day for adults and $9 per juvenile. So I just know, when we had this conversation about a year ago of what it was, you know, that these amounts were talked about, and I know there's a difference between a fine or a fee that's tacked onto every single ticket versus the actual amount of people that come from the city and stay the night in the jail. Which one of those is larger, I don't know, you know, but.
I can guarantee you that per diem per night would be larger.
Okay.
I mean, it, without a doubt, it will be larger. And the reason behind the written agreements and contracts, that is by statute that is allowed. Contracts are signed by the county judge and also the county sheriff signed approval of them also. Him being the chief executive of the county is the one signs the county contract. To my knowledge, they don't have to be presented to the quorum court. It just had to be in the ordinance that is the circumstances of it. That's what's written within that law. All of the contracts are signed by both and are filed along with the mayor's and are filed with the county court.
city.
So if I can just visit with Justice Lahousky for just a moment on that. If I remember the discussion, a couple of things. Number one, the per diem from a city perspective is very hard to budget. Mm-hmm. So they don't know how many people they're going to arrest. You might even have issues where, you have riders come to town and you have a bunch of people, and it could motivate a small town police department not to arrest people because of budgetary concerns. That's certainly something that we don't want to input into our justice system. Secondarily is the cities that did make the agreements, which if I understand is most of the cities in the county, who else would be paying that per diem would be any prisoner that we keep from outside the county. So if we arrest somebody from Pulaski County, then they would pay the per diem. If we arrest somebody from Colorado and they want to extradite them, we would charge that department per diem. So primarily the per diem would be charged to those outside of Faulkner County, if I'm remembering from our discussion.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Am I correct, Andy, and the per diem was taken off the table?
No, sir. The per diem did pass in the ordinance. It's set at $44 a day and $90 a day for juveniles, $44 for adults. That only is in play if there is not a contract.
If there's not a contract,
yes,
it's
sir.
Off the table. But right now, are you collecting any per diem from the cities?
Not from the five large cities, no.
Okay.
Right. But they're doing the transfer.
I was thinking that it was taken off the table. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, again, at this point in time, I think we've got to make some plans tonight. I talked to our county attorney. One of the things that we cannot do tonight is we cannot pass an ordinance that then would go forward and be on the ballot. An ordinance that's going to go and be on the ballot in November has to come from a regularly scheduled meeting. It cannot come from a special meeting. I didn't realize that. But we can have the discussion tonight, and we can get ourselves to a point where we do have a framework of something to at least go forward. Before I go forward with that, I want to stop for just a second. I'm going to take just a moment, and the sheriff said something that just kind of triggered me. This is not a us, a them. We're all in Faulkner County together. And Judge, I'm going to brag on you for a minute, and I'm also going to brag on former Judge Scroggins, who's in here tonight. One of the best things I can say about Judge Scroggins was when he was county judge, he realized the need to build a war chest in the event that there were problems and emergencies. And he had one. He had one in 2011. He had a tornado. Mayor Holland, I would bet you the county spent some money down in Mayflower in 2011 that the city didn't have the resources to have, and so the county came and helped out, if I'm not mistaken. I know they did in Bologna.
Yes, we had six disasters.
Yeah, I'm getting to those. In 13, you had a little oil spill down there. And again, I think the county probably came down and assisted. If our county road foreman at the time hadn't abused some of that East Arkansas farming ingenuity, that would have gotten into the entire lake instead of just in the little watershed there. He was able to stop off the drain. In 14, Mary, you had another tornado, as did we in Bologna. And again, I know the county came to the rescue. With all that being said, that judge didn't maybe devote as much of his budget to roads as other judges had. He probably did a little more chip sealing than other judges have, but he put some money aside to build up a war chest for a rainy day, and it's come in use several times. Judge Baker, I can't brag on you enough. I mean, we've got probably the best road system of the 75 counties that are county roads. And I thank you for that. I think you've done a very good job. Wish there was a few more paved in District 3, but hey, other than that, beggars can't be choosers, can they?
We're about half done.
I got you.
Put it right there.
Yes,
we're
sir.
On 50% mark.
I right got now. You. Yes, sir. Justice Shock, he's got some NASCAR super speedways out in his district. They're great. But great paved roads. Justice Houston, Justice Knight. All of us in the county have benefited from your stewardship of county road money. Oh, and by the way, you had a little disaster last year. A little flood. you know, where I know you went out and helped.
I hope I don't ever see another.
I got you. Place. But again, you helped in Wooster, I'm sure. You helped in Mayflower, I'm sure. And so again, you know, we appreciate that. So I want to brag on both of y'all. All of those things are important, and all of those things go along with the government's first responsibility. Government's first responsibility is to protect its people. And I think our former judge did that, our current judge has done that. With that being said, you know, I trust the people. And I know that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you that I can look at tonight that are here probably because you're opposed to this. But the reality is, unless you ran unopposed, you've trusted the people at some point in time to elect you to office. And I trust the people. In 1990, the people of this county passed this absent sales tax. Anybody know what our population was in 1990? 60,000. Sheriff, it would be a lot easier for you to manage with the resources you have today, 60,000 people, than the 125,000 to 135,000 that we're going to report in this census.
Definitely.
So our county has doubled in size in that last 3 years. Has the sheriff's department doubled in size? No, it hasn't. Has your call log doubled in size? Yes. You know, we have to figure out a way to supply the needs that they have. I did some checking with a former road foreman, county road foreman today. Asphalt in 2011 was $100,000 a mile. What is it today, Jay?
80.
It's less today.
It's less.
Because of?
Buying power.
That's right. And cheaper petroleum.
Cheaper oil.
Yeah.
State of Arkansas is still paying $80 a ton. Yeah. Faulkner County is buying it for $54. There's a little difference.
So again, I applaud you for that. That's great work on your part. But the reality is, we're getting as much or more, we're getting more bang for our buck on the dollars that are spent today than we did in 2011. In 2011, the split of this 50-50 was $3.9 million and $3.9 million. I would make a proposal today that we consider strongly that we take the 50-50 split to a 60-40 split. And that 60-40 split would today give the judge the same buying power dollar-wise that he had in 2011, the former Judge Scroggins had in 2011. And he's going to buy it cheaper today than they were able to do back then. Will there be some disruption in roads? Yes. But again, we have probably the premier road system of the 75 counties. I've driven most of them. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mayors here tonight. Thank y'all for coming. Appreciate you taking time out of your day. All of you have probably benefited in the past year with county aid and assistance. And that's why you don't want that to go away. And hey, I understand. But you've also benefited from the sheriff helping out. And you will continue to benefit. If there's an emergency today, I guarantee if the judge is going to load his folks up and they're going to come help, the sheriff's going to load his folks up and they're going to come help. They're going to do what they were hired by the people to do. I've received probably 10 to 15 phone calls since Friday saying, hey, don't touch the judge's road money. It's not, no disrespect, Your Honor, but it's the county's road money. It's the people of the county. And again, why are we opposed to the people deciding if this map needs to change? Put it on the ballot. In November, if the people say it changes, it changes. And if the people say it doesn't change, we're no worse for the wear. You know, in 2016, we had this thing passed, and we didn't have the proper resolution to put it on the ballot. A vote changed, and the reason that the quorum court member said the vote changed was because he didn't want to fund a special election. There's no funding of a special election this time. This will be on the general election where voters can come, give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Again, I trust the people, and I hope that you do too. With that being said, I'll still continue to take questions, but I would like permission to get with our county attorney. You've got a sample in here. The amounts are wrong, but I'd like to get with our county attorney and work on this ordinance a little bit that you got a sample in front of you. I'd like to mark it up to a 60-40 split versus a 65-35 split. And I would like for that to be considered before the full quorum court at our next regularly scheduled meeting. If it needs to go through a committee, I guess courts and public safety, we could run it through there. If it doesn't need to go before a committee, I guess we could bring it to the full court.
Judge, I do have a question for Justice Good.
Yes.
Justice Good, what's the deadline that we have to have?
It's 70 days prior to the election, which I think, Margaret, is that August the 23rd?
I think Margaret has put down.
Okay.
So that falls within our
It's August the 25th. So, yes, if this is passed by our next regular scheduled meeting, which is August the 18th, it should appear on the ballot on November the 3rd. Okay. August the 25th would be that 70 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This is Zach Pace. I just want to, I guess, voice my support for everything Steve said. I'm in support of that. I hope that we can get that to the next full court meeting, and I am in support of that.
Question in the back.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Does the forum court get this magazine?
No. No, they don't know what it is. Tell them by a sample.
This magazine shows us cities, towns, tax,
and counties.
This is the fifth largest county, I understand. And if you look at the four counties that surround us, look at their tax rates, at Cleburne, Van Buren, all of them, makes ours look really, really bad.
Or I would say make it look really, really good. Yeah, I think there's a reason Faulkner County is a fast-growing county, and it's because people move here because of the low tax burden.
I personally think low taxes are a very good thing because people can keep more of their money, so
it's a party philosophy.
from what the sheriff, and I know he has problems, I have probably the smallest budget, smallest police department in the county. We struggle. But if everything he's asking for, that $3 million won't pay for it.
Yes, sir, I think it will.
Your opinion, I don't think it would. I don't believe it will.
Well, Angie? If you just gave us a rough snapshot of what your current need was personnel-wise, and we won't get into updating the systems and training, but just personnel-wise, what would that be?
In 4 years, someone will have to fund 100% of the salaries for these six deputies. It is our hope that the sales tax will support that if this allocation is actually voted on by the people and supported. It would be approximately $325,000 for those six deputies, and that's in 4 years. So the salaries possibly could increase. We know the benefits will increase, so the expense will actually be higher than that. But at this point, that's $325,000. 10 detention officers for the expansion of the jail is approximately $470,000. So that right there is a total of $795,000, almost $800,000, just for the personnel.
And if you look at the sales tax, and again, I don't know that any of us would have seen this coming, especially with COVID, but Scott, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, we should exceed $10 million as a county for the first time ever.
I'm not going to go that far.
Okay.
You can. I'm not.
It's certainly looking like.
Let me say that I projected $9.8 million for this year.
Yeah.
I feel fairly confident we're going to make that mark. $10 million is a different...
I get it.
It doesn't sound like much more, but it is. It's considerable amount more. So we had a... and just so that everybody that's not looking at this right here, let me just read this real quick. The sales tax revenue for July was $892,408.21. That was 13% above what it was a year ago. It's amazing.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a second or third largest we've ever collected.
You could be right there. I'm not going to make that statement. I
think it's the third largest month ever.
And I've been asked, you know, what attributes that? Is there some sort of anomaly there? I've made a lot of calls, other counties, large counties like myself, they're in the 11 and 9 and 12 rate. They're right there with us. And like I tell you all the time, when I see something that kind of jumps out at me, like when we had the 11% a few months ago, I usually make some phone calls and make sure it's not just us. Because if it's just us, then there may be an anomaly there that's going to work its way out. But it's all over. I think it's a bounce back. I think possibly some people may not have gotten some of their sales tax stuff in the month before, may have delayed on that because of COVID and stuff. But even with that, that is a huge number, huge number. It will not continue. I hope that we can finish the year. We're 7.2% above last year. Man, if we finish anywhere above 5%, it will be a miracle, and it will be great. Talk to a lot of people. The economy seems to be doing good, especially in Faulkner County. A lot of homes being built. A lot of kind of people moving around. Feel good about that type of thing. But one thing to be a little bit nervous about going forward is supply. People that are building things and doing things, mayors and judge, y'all may know about this better than I do, having some trouble getting some supplies, and that's just started in the last few weeks. Steve, I believe you and I had a conversation about some cell phone towers or something, having trouble getting supplies. So that's got me a little bit hesitant on this economy that maybe that could drag us down. If a home builder needs some 2x4s and can't get them, that's going to slow us down. If a grocery store man can't get his lettuce, that may hurt our economy stuff. So as I've said in the past, the numbers look great on the sales tax side, but it's just this not knowing going forward that has me nervous on these numbers.
Your Honor, may I say something?
Yes.
Justin Pearson.
Yes.
One thing that I would like to mention with regard to increase in sales tax revenues that needs to be considered that would likely not be continued in the future is all of the federal relief programs that Congress has approved throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm talking about the $600 a week boost in unemployment insurance, the $1,200 checks. Those went directly to consumers. Consumers spent that money for the most part. We're talking about $2.1 billion that was injected into the hands of Arkansans just in the last couple of months that has had a tremendous impact, and this is coming from economists at the University of Arkansas, as the state is also seeing increased revenues well above forecast. And I just want to mention that so everybody can keep that in mind, that is having a huge impact on the increased revenues for sales tax in the state of Arkansas that will not be around in the future.
Jerry, I ask a couple of questions, sir. Yeah. Perhaps directed to Justice Good, the 60-40 split on the last whereas, you have 35% for the county and rural department and 65 for criminal justice. You want to change that to 40%?
Yes.
County road?
And again, I think that's open for discussion tonight. I think with the needs that Angie's laid out, some of the things that the sheriff's talked about, that basically moves $1 million a year. And so with that, I think that meets the need of where we are today.
And the follow-up to that, Judge, if I may. Fortunately, District 12 has two mayors in it. One of the mayors in District 12 is with us tonight, Mayor Terry Don Robbins from Wooster. We've heard the sheriff give us his story about what's needed for the sheriff's department, and I applaud him for that, and I readily concur with the needs. I do. I readily concur with the needs. But having some information, having talked to Mayor Robinson recently, I'm also, those are increases that the sheriff is going to need. But that's going to imply some decreases to the city, the megalopolis of Wooster, and the two elementary schools that's in District 12. And I would like to maybe ask the sheriff, the mayor, if he would like to tell us what kind of a deficit that may put the city of Wooster in by having a reduction of revenue. I know that the county road department contributes heavily. The city of Wooster does not have a street department, doesn't have a police department. What's done in the city of Wooster, which incidentally is the fastest growing area in Faulkner County, roads are just popping up everywhere. Mayor Robinson, would you like to address that?
Well, we've always worked with nothing besides what y'all are talking about. But, you know, I've heard all this, and I've been watching this for a long time, and this is my opinion on it, and I know you don't like it. Most of you don't, but this county is growing, and back when this sales tax was passed, they only did a half a cent for a good reason, because if they passed any more, they would have to divide it with the cities, and Conway, being the largest one, would have got the majority of the money. My personal opinion, you're kicking the can down the road. What you're doing today is all you're doing. You're going to have to back up one of these days and pass the sales tax there to get everybody working correctly. If you take the money away from him, he's going to have to lay people off the road department, you know, and I agree with them. I know this, like today, they helped, the police department helped us tremendously out of the city of Wooster. I mean, big time. And I'm all for it. I understand. I'm not condemning anybody. I just don't think you've got the money to work with. We're a large county. Like I say, you're kicking a can down the road. I think you're going to have to pass another half cent sales tax. These guys get half of it, they get half of it, and everybody be happy. But what will have to happen is towns like us will have to pass a resolution that we will forgive, or we don't get our money out of it. In other words, Conway gets the majority, but Conway will have to pass something where we will give it all to the county. We won't get nothing, and that's okay with me. We gotta solve a problem here. But that's why Cleon Coon and all them back in the day only passed a half cent sales tax, because of that reason. They knew they needed more, but they knew they wouldn't get all of it, so they just left it a half cent. You've got Conway with this high tax rate, and you've got all the people that's going to vote, and it's going to be hard for them to pass a half cent sales tax because, they're taxed to death already, and they're the majority of the people. But I just believe you're kicking a can down the road. I'd back up and try a half cent sales tax and let all of us forego our money and solve it, you know, right now. We're kicking it down the road. But that's my opinion. We're going to make it Wooster. We always have. I mean, I know it will hurt us, but hey, that's okay. Everybody gets hurt. We'll make a way. But that's just my opinion. I don't like to pay taxes either, but I think you're up against the wall, and you need to do a good job selling it to the people. I mean, you look in that book, everybody's 1 cent, 1.5, 2 cents. We're a half cent. We're the, what'd you say, the fifth largest? But I think y'all are going the wrong direction with this myself, but that's just my opinion. And I like to be frugal, not pass tax either, but we may not afford not to. That's just my opinion. But anyway, thank you for
that. So, Mayor Robinson, you bring up a great point that anything above that half cent does go back. There's a split, and I can't remember the exact split. But, you know, I don't sit here and think for a second that Conway's going to say, hey, we're going to let you have that money, and that's not you. I mean,
he sat through a meeting and heard me say that.
Yeah, okay.
And he looked me right, and I did disagree, though.
Okay, well,
but I understand where you're coming from,
yeah.
But also he's aware of it.
Yeah, well, that's number one. And then number two, you know, again, aside from the mutual aid assistance that our judges have given you small cities, you're not going to suffer a decline of revenue at all, period. And quite frankly, you know, you talk about layoffs. I mean, there's no guarantee that there's going to be layoffs. Again, this money that is generated today is ample, are as equal to where we were just 10 years ago when our road system was not as in good shape as it is today. You know, 80,000 right now? 80,000 a mile?
I was dancing over here in the chair, so I didn't hear what you're
saying. 80,000 a mile?
80,000 a mile to resurface a road.
Okay.
To build one, you're looking at a huge.
I understand, yes, sir. I understand. Yeah. But I mean, the reality is that's just 12 miles in a year, and there's no layouts. I mean, that will be, you know, again.
I'm not arguing.
Right.
I just think
that's a reckless statement to say that there will be layoffs because there's no guarantee of that. I mean, there's no. That's going to be an administrative decision that the judge will make, and then future judges will make as well. You know, I guess the question that I would ask each of you as mayors is why are you opposed to the people beside? Because the people may decide to leave it right where it's at. So why are we opposed to the voters of Faulkner County getting their say at the ballot box?
I'm not opposed. I'm just saying you're going the wrong direction.
Okay. Now, I think I can answer that one. I feel like they're gone because y'all are addressing one problem, the sheriffs. You've got multiple problems. You've got 911. You've got an animal control, very big problem.
Library.
Y'all got multiple problems, and I just don't. I think not carry on. You don't have enough to operate with.
Thank you,
reallocating it from one department to another is not the fix.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Your Honor, if I may ask a question.
Yes.
My question is for Justice Good. Would you be opposed to the people deciding on another half-cent sales tax increase?
My people have already decided when they voted for me to represent them in District 3, and I ran on a pledge of not raising the taxes.
Yes,
so my people have already decided.
So I'll just ask the question again. Would you be opposed to the people of Faulkner County voting to decide whether or not they wanted to pass another half-cent sales tax increase?
I think you're welcome to bring that ordinance if you want to, and we'll see if the court votes it up or down.
Well, I'm just asking if you think the people should decide, if they should have, you know, you're saying you trust the people.
I do trust the people. That's exactly right. The people elected me to not raise their taxes. And the people elected me to not raise their taxes, so I will not vote for that resolution, our ordinance.
I think something to look at there is why would we look at raising taxes when we have a viable option before us that would meet specific needs within the county with the money that we have on hand? Because in my mind, some of the highest priorities we have is building a new jail or, you know, replacing Unit 1 and doing that. This money would fund some of the personnel for that. It would do some of those things. So why would we look at raising taxes when we've still got money on hand? Using county money, that sales tax does not go to the city. So I agree that's a reckless statement to make about layoffs. A, nobody has said that but you. And two, that's an administrative decision, which we don't get. We don't tell them how to do their budget. We approve the funding, and they can make those management decisions. That's what that is. But that would be my response to that, Justice Pearson, is why would we do that when we have a viable option here to look at with county money? We have not been voted in to look at the interests of the cities. We have been voted in by the people of Faulkner County to address the county budget, and that's what we're doing. And we haven't hurt the cities. With the per diem, we made agreements that benefit the cities, and it's less money going with the fees that we went with that y'all directly benefited from. And Faulkner County, for a long time, by not charging per diem, has tremendously helped the cities, and we've had to shoulder that burden alone. So I just think saying that we're hurting the cities is, I don't think it's true. I think the cities have benefited the county the way we've worked in the past, and I think looking at reallocating some of this money, I think it's a responsible thing to do. And if the voters don't want to do it, that's their prerogative, but giving them a say allows them to have a say.
Other discussion on the bill.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, somebody.
This is Justice Knight.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for your discussion and your passionate opinions about the needs of the sheriff's department, the needs of the city, the needs of the road departments. What I'd really like to see, and I haven't seen an ordinance or anything, but I'd like to rank and prioritize the needs. You know, I hear the six salaries for the deputies we've approved, the 10 detention officers, but what else is there? I'm hearing 700,000 roughly, but what's the total that we really need? And I know Justice Good threw out 10%, moving 10% from roads to to the sheriff's department. That's not free money. That costs something. That will cost about 12 and a half miles of paved roads in the county. And that's up to the sheriff to make the case to the people if that's something they're willing to go for. Because that's a tangible asset, and that's a hard case to make. Because they drive the roads every day. They may not need the sheriff's department every day. But when they do, they need them there, and they need them there in force. So that's his case to make to the people of Crawford County. So I'd like to see how much do we actually need. Is it just going to come from this 10%, or do we need to find it somewhere else? I know we've got some low-hanging fruit that we haven't been getting. The garnishment of the for the fines and fees, shame on us for not collecting that. That's going to help. That's something we need to do. So I want to hear some more answers to these problems that we've got, and how are we going to fund it? So please. Thank you.
Your Honor.
Yes.
Mr. McClung is in the other room, and he texted me and asked to come over and address the court, so I told him to come on. So if with your permission.
You recognize. Yeah.
Mr. McClung, go right ahead. You come up here so we can hear you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the court for giving me the honor to come up here and speaking. I know I hear a lot going back and forth from the court. I watch everything, even the boring budget and finance committee meetings. I watch it. So while I'm not here in body a lot, I am definitely here looking through that little lens back there. And when this was called a couple of weeks ago for this special meeting, I was inspired to come here in person today, not just to speak to my JP, but to speak to the whole court. I've sat for months, and I've watched the county and the financial situation it's in, even before COVID-19 happened. And just the amount of cutting that has come to this county and the budgets having to be sent back, I don't think that it's right to go robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm a member of the public. I live on a county road. And I can tell you, the county roads don't need to be cut. I live only 4/10 of a mile off of a state highway. And my 4/10 of a mile are tremendously bumpy. Yes, it's nice to be living on a paved road. I grew up on a dirt road here in Faulkner County, and it's nice having pavement now and not having to deal with the dust and everything else. But paved roads take a lot more upkeep than they do gravel roads. Before, you could haul some gravel out, you could grade a road, and you could fix a gravel road pretty easy. These other ones, there's some roads I could take you to right now, and they've been patched up so much, they're so bumpy that it's displeasuring to drive down. I don't think cutting the county road department is the way to do this at all. While I say that, I also say that the sheriff's office is extremely important, and I've watched them, and I've watched their struggles. They need a new jail and everything else. While Mr. Goode has the opinion of not raising taxes, and I'm one of his constituents, and I know he's going to stand by his word because that's the word he gave the majority of the people in this district. That is the option that I think the court needs to look at. It's time that our county has a raise in the income that's coming in. I've heard multiple times that the county has a spending problem, not a revenue problem. And if you look at not just the county road, not just the sheriff's office, but all the departments in general that get their budgets get cut, they submit a budget and say, this is what we need to operate. And then it comes back and it says, no, this is, you need to cut. We need to find some more money somewhere. And I understand that the county road has to have a big amount of money sitting there because the state. What's going to happen? I've heard it said once in this court. What's going to happen when that highway goes through between 64 and 65 and the state comes to us and says, we need millions and millions of dollars for your part? The county road has to have that. I don't believe that robbing the county road is the right task. I think... And when it comes to taxes, I'm a fiscally conservative person. I'm a Christian. I believe in living within your means. And what I want to do is I want to see the county succeed. I want to see my local government succeed. I'm not so much opposed to a tax hike on my local level where it's going to affect me. The federal government's the one, in my opinion, that's robbing me. Because the things that happen on the county level, on the local level, I see those tangible benefits that benefit my life, benefit the people that are around me. But the federal government is the one that's robbing us, not the county. I would support a county tax hike because it's been way too long. It's been decades since the county, other than just tax revenue going up, since the county has had a raise. The sheriff's office needs these positions much more past those 4 years that we're talking about with that grant. And they need more than that. They need the jail. They need everything. They need raises. As much as the sheriff, I applaud him. He said he's not going to speak to that. His guys would rather have more deputies than a raise. I'm going to stand here as the public and tell you the deputies need a raise, plain and simple. They need to be competing with all of our surrounding agencies, Conway, State Police, and Little Rock, North Little Rock. Unfortunately, Faulkner County is going to have to compete with the highest paid law enforcement agencies in the state. We need to actually have a real solution. Somebody mentioned a while ago kicking the can down the road, and I believe removing money around from roads to the sheriff's office, that's all it's doing is kicking the can down the road. It's not solving the problem that the county has. The county does, in my opinion, as a member of the public, have a revenue problem that needs to be solved. And that's just the way that I feel about it. And I hope all y'all will take that into consideration, that me, just a Joe Blow member of the public, is telling you I support a tax hike. And I'm not a tax-raising kind of guy. I was disappointed when the Bologna, when the Bologna schools didn't raise their millage, because my kids go to that school, and I know that the school needs it tremendously. This county needs it. This county has not had a raise in decades. It's time to give the county a raise it needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McClung. Thanks. Coming before the court, Mr. McClung. Steve. You had the floor when you
yes, sir.
You had the floor when you asked him.
Justice Good.
Justice Earl.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Just a few questions. Speaking of raises, and he brought up raises for the deputies, what does a deputy currently start at?
$35,650. Who are you asking?
I'm just more like this. What does your main employees at the road department, what does a road department truck driver start at?
Truck driver probably starts in the low 30s, 33 or something like that.
33?
Somewhere like that. Okay. 20, 32, 33. I don't know. I try to keep up with it, but it all runs together. It's in the
too
book.
Many
it's in your
start.
Book. It's in the book.
Okay. Well, I too ran on no new taxes. And I believe I wouldn't be sitting here today if my constituents wanted a new tax. So I believe that we do need to do our due diligence to the citizens of Faulkner County and look within, because that's all we can do. That's all I can vote on is within, because I was voted in for no taxes, and I was also voted in to work with public safety. So I believe in it, and I honestly had no idea how bad things were until I became a member of the court. So I support this issue. I really do believe we need to discuss. Is it a 60-40? I don't know. Another idea would be to do a three-way split. And I'm just throwing this number out there. It's not what I want. I'm just split it three ways where a small percentage actually went into a special fund, so that we don't see ourselves in the future having to ask the voters to redo this, and instead that small percent always came in front of the court. I mean, it's just an idea I'm just throwing out there. I just think that it's an idea that I just believe this is a very worthy idea that we need to discuss, and it needs to, we need further discussion on it.
Our entry level deputies start out at 30, well, they're capped actually, salary is $35,568. A truck driver in the budget book under County Road Fund, County Road Department, is
$41,600. Whoa.
It's in the budget book, sorry.
It might be in the budget book. That ain't starting salary for a truck driver.
But that's what you have the availability to pay them.
Might have the availability. The budget ain't there to pay. Budget ain't there to pay.
Yeah. Justice Good, I don't know, you might have these numbers in front of you. How much, including state turnback, the sales tax, how much did the road department bring in last year? How much did they end up expending, and how much was left over in carryover? Because we're talking right now, we've been talking about with this split roughly around $1 million. So, would that mean how much of an impact would that $1 million have?
I got an answer to that.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Okay.
Out of the ordinances that the court has passed in the past, you know, we passed the carryover ordinance basically, and I believe April of every year for 2017. $3,897,000 for 2018, $3,183,000 for 2019, $2,231,000. Those are the carryovers out of the county general sales tax budget, not necessarily even their Fund 2000 budget, you know, normally has carryovers as well.
So that's just the sales tax carryover what roads had. So they had anywhere between $2 and $3 million of carryover for the last 3 years, let's say. And what we're looking at when they had $2 to $3 million excess, we're looking at taking $1 million away. So they're still carrying over, and this is just me talking off the top of my head, doing that, you know, $1 to $2 million a year. So we're still not touching what they're spending. They still got additional money. So those statements where we're laying off people and hurting things, at least from the sales tax, and that doesn't include state turnback and that carryover, it doesn't appear to be true, that there's excess there, and all we're doing is dipping in to a little bit of that excess that's there. I could be wrong, but that's just me thinking off the top of my head off what was said.
Does any JP live on a gravel road?
I'd like to see that. First, JP lives on a gravel road.
Nope. Judge,
I just asked that question. I just wanted to know. Does any JP live on a gravel road?
The only thing I think we said we only got around 50 miles of road left to pave, so there's not much of it left to live on.
I just asked that question.
Judge, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would any of this, or maybe Justice Good may want to answer, would any of this affect the potential for the Mayflower overpass? Would any of this affect the potential for the Wooster roundabout? What kind of effects are we looking at here? It's great, and you don't understand, I'm for the sheriff getting what he needs. But I'm like Justice Good, I represent District 12, and what I hear from District 12 is we need better roads. We need AMP. Mayor Robinson, in my conversation with him this past week, told me he was chased up into the back end of his pickup truck by a vicious dog. Is that correct, Mayor?
Yeah. More than one.
More than one. The idea that we're looking at two things, whoever said we have more on our plate here to look at, we're looking at two things here. There are other things that we need to be considering as part of this working plan that we're trying to establish.
So are you proposing that we take more from roads then than the 10%?
Did I say that?
I'm asking.
I'm telling you, my people in District 12, one of your constituents from District 3, Mrs. Rose, you might know her.
Talked to her today.
I did too. I gave her your number. she called me to tell me how to vote on. She said, I don't want the roads hurt, and I want better animal care. That's what she told me. Kind of paraphrase, but that's the context. But anyway, I'm at the same time, constituents in District 12 tell me they love protection, and especially in Wooster, because we have no police protection. They love the fact that the sheriff is there when we need him. Yeah. So, and I'm not advocating, I don't know what to advocate. Justice Good, I really don't.
I think that's why we're having this discussion.
Yeah.
To see what the needs are and how we meet the needs.
But I think there are multiple needs involved here too, sir.
Let me go ahead.
Well, when I found out earlier that this is not going to go to a vote tonight, I thought I'm going to save all my comments until the full meeting, and I changed my mind. I'm going to try to keep this brief and time safe.
You're next, Mayor.
I think something that's just baseline information that we need to point out is I think good people can have disagreements.
Yeah.
And the key is to not take it personal. There are people in this room that I think highly of that will disagree with what I'm about to say, and that's fine. We can time I met you, I thought you were 7 foot tall. Cooney Face is my granddad. You were the banker. And you came and ate, and I thought,
you had a good granddad. You had a good granddad.
Yes, sir. I did. So I think Judge Baker's done a phenomenal job. But I think I can bring a little bit of a, I wouldn't say unique perspective to this, but my point of view. I started in 1999 at the Parker County Sheriff's Office as a reserve deputy, and this gentleman right here was my commander. At that time, if I'm not mistaken, we had 8 deputies for the entire county, population of Parker County, rural Parker County. Shortly thereafter, I went part-time, made $6 an hour, and was the only deputy in the county more times than I can count. Okay. Now, we have progressed a lot since then. Me having been grown up in Enola, some people in here will understand where Randy Ingram lives, Ingram Road, former JP. There was a section, and it was probably about a 300-yard section, that we knew as a deputy, if it rained more than 2 inches, you were not going to get through that little area. You couldn't get through there with a tractor. And again, 99, we were driving these roads with that were obviously the vast majority of these roads were dirt roads. And then Sheriff Montgomery and Judge Carter and the Quorum Court at that time came up with this. Billed it to the taxpayers or the voting public as a 50-50 split, 50% for roads, and our roads were in horrendous condition back then, and 50% for criminal justice, with kind of the addendum there that there would be a 3-phase jail completed with this criminal justice sales tax. Okay, let's fast forward. Okay, the vote got approved. I believe 7 new deputies were hired, which is great. Chief Deputy Matt Rice, if I'm not mistaken, was hired in that batch of new deputies. Fast forward through August of 2006, they finally get the first phase of Unit 1 complete. The first phase is the most expensive phase. It includes the entire area that you will need for booking from here on out. The kitchen is humongous. So it is the most expensive part of the jail. But there were still 2 phases that were short, as it was promised to the taxpayers back in 1999. So, we get the new jail open. Let's fast forward just a little bit of time here. And the criminal justice building. Very much needed. No argument here. The Quorum Court at that time decided to push forward with this. But guess what they forgot to include? Personnel. Think you'd need personnel transporting highly dangerous criminals from here across town? Yes. It was completely overlooked. Well, guess what? We came to court with a need, and obviously they had to do something because we didn't have personnel. So I was elected in 2012. I don't recall exactly when. I believe it was 2014 that I went to certain members of the court and started discussing this reappropriation of sales tax. You and I had a very heated conversation, very respectful, but very heated conversation about that, in your pickup truck after we went out and ate fish. You remember that? I recall it well.
16.
What's that?
16. 15. 15 or 16.
15.
Yeah.
Okay. We are at a point now where you either, and I will say this, I will be supporting this. I think that's not a shock to anyone. I can easily justify that with a lot of things mentioned earlier. Criminal justice and public safety are government's top priority. And if a sheriff who is here, will not be ever support of a new tax. I think that's one of the reasons why I was elected, is because people know me and know that I'm a conservative when it comes to that type of stuff. But at the time, Judge, when we discussed this, and Justice Good, you may be able to tell me a little bit closer here, were there 25, was it 24 or $25 million in the account?
Right at 25 million.
$25 million.
When I took over office, it was 22.5.
22.5. So that money has been well used by you, and you've done a phenomenal job. And this reappropriation will cost 12 miles of paved road a year. Is that about right?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Somebody else said that.
Would you agree or disagree with that?
I hadn't thought about it, so I didn't go.
Yes, sir.
I didn't vote.
I think everybody knows where I'm going with this. I could say a whole lot more, but I will maybe save some of my thunder for the meeting we have later on in the month. But I will be in full support of this ordinance or resolution.
Mayor Strong, you had your hand.
Well, thank you to get this thing off. God bless each one of you. I hope everyone got to find you good and well. I can go further back on a lot of things. I can remember pulling tractor trailer rigs into my farm to load cattle with a bulldozer. I can remember Gerald Ward being a good soul, bringing shale out, and we putting it in with our dozer. I can remember wooden bridges. I can remember when Governor Bunkers had a bridge program, bridge replacement, get rid of wooden bridges. County, even back in that day, would come forward and help the city, everybody, putting in bridges. Fast forward to my little community right now, I'm having to scrape. Those bridges have wore out, and we're replacing them on our own. We don't have big dump trucks. I've got a one-person street department. I've got $100,000 a year to spend on the roads. Out of goodness, kindness of Judge Baker's heart, if I need a dump truck, you know, for get the bridge out, he'll come help us. That's been something that's been done in this county long before any of us got there. This county road department has built bridges, built fairgrounds, built football fields. We've always been there when we've been asked to be there. It's hard work. You've never drove a dump truck, it's not easy. You've never drove a motor patrol, it's not easy. You've never drove a trackhoe, it's not easy. And those guys put in a lot of work. And back in my time, they would donate their time a lot of times to their respective cities. If they lived in an area and something needed to be done, we dropped equipment off, they'd go work. That all being said, roads are a big deal. Governor Huckabee, when I got to serve on the Good Roads Transportation Council, $1 billion worth of Garvey bonds for interstate improvement. Governor Beebe come forward with his plan. Governor Hutchinson has been very brave with his plan this year. That's on the ballot as well this fall. We don't know where that's going to go. I got a report from Metroplan. I didn't bring it. But if that does not pass, Faulkner County loses $2.4 million in road funding in all the different cities. I didn't bring it, the different split. So we're in some very tumultuous, troubling times for everybody. And everybody wants more money. You're never going to be able to print enough money to make everybody happy or solve all the problems. But roads, water, and I guess you could add rural broadband to that now, are going to be the building blocks for this state, the counties across. Road maintenance is always ongoing. I used to love what Judge Carter told me when I came in. He said, the road starts going downhill the second the asphalt machine leaves it. And it does. And Judge Baker's been blessed. I had a wet winter. And if you don't know a lot about country living or soils, you get a wet winter. And I remember one winter there, we had a freezing thaw when I was there, and we spent over $1.5 million in 2 months just trying to get roads faster. So we've not had that. You have a bridge go out, like Judge Baker did, up there, guy, I guess. You know, that's a $3 million fix. So, I realize everybody's got a problem. not going to print enough money to solve all the problems. That's my 2 cents worth. Justice Good, thank you for the accolade. Justice Baker, thank you for your hard work on the road system.
Judge.
I'm gonna back up
the mayor's statement there. Of that 2.4 million, the county got 1.158 million of that last year.
That's right.
Just so for information purposes.
Well, the city's divided the rest of it.
The city's divided the rest of it. But the county portion was 1.158.
1.3 went to Conway, 300,000 went to Greenbrier, and then kept on going down. That's right. Who's next?
So, Your Honor, I guess I'll make a couple of comments.
Okay.
I've looked at the tax increase situation. I think the county's been pretty conservative. You know, I like to compare us in size and effort to Saline County, and Saline County probably has a little better, stronger sales tax county-wise. But I think overall taxes, sales tax that a citizen pays in Saline County is about equivalent to what citizens pay in Faulkner County. The difference is the allocation. More of it goes to the county in Saline County, because Saline County got aggressive a few years ago. And as a result of that, the cities were able to. I think the populace will only take so much of a sales tax. And my concern is we may already be there in Faulkner County. And I think that probably the cities did a good job of looking and saying, you know what, the county's not going to get it. Maybe we can get in there and get some of that. So I think we're there. I don't know that it's really fair to say the county hasn't done a good job of sales tax increase. There's no place to go at this time, I think. You know, when we look at one of the comments the gentleman here made, he made a comment about robbing county roads. You know, there's no doubt what we've talked about here will have an impact on county road revenue. It will. That's what we're talking about. I don't know that robbing county roads, though, is right. And what I say by that is, if you'll bear with me a moment, I'm making plans right now for me to retire come January. I've been with my company for almost 35 years, and it's time for me to spend a little more time home with my wife and my family, and I'm looking at that. And I made the mistake of telling my wife when I retire, we're going to have to cut back a little bit. And she wasn't real receptive to that, believe it or not. And one of the things that I told her that she needs to cut back on was we might need to cut back on our cable TV channels and stuff. And what she heard was, you're going to take my TV away from me? And that's not what I told her. What I told her was, we're probably going to have to drop a few channels. And so I don't know what we bandied around paving 12 miles less road. I don't know what the impact of that is. I don't know how many miles we pave each year. If we're paving 70 or 75 miles and we're going to back off 12, hypothetically, we'd have to look and see what that is. But I don't think we're talking about robbing or going to gravel roads or backwards. We're going from here, maybe to here. And is that going to be a little painful? I think that it probably is. But when we look at the alternatives that we have, which is increased taxes, which I don't think would pass in Faulkner County. That's my opinion. The option that we're talking about now, or do nothing. I really think that's the three options on the table. So I don't know. I just want to make sure that we're talking about impacting. It's going to have some pain. We need to talk about the impact of that pain. And I've not really heard that tonight, exactly how much it would impact the road department. So that's all I've got to say.
I come here to listen. I didn't come here to look. Next, yeah, thank you, Brian. Yeah, Jim.
I've expressed to y'all many times that I'm for the police department, the sheriff's department. I understand they wore, like I said before, they wore out Stanley Road and Brown Road for decades, not this month, for decades, coming to one address. They do their job. I think there's a big problem in the judicial system that causing a lot of this overrun. It's not just here, it's nationwide. How do we address that? Who knows? But the half-cent tax that you said you do represent me, me and my family would support a half-cent sales tax to do good for every entity in this county and not keep the can down the road. And I just cannot see that this little couldn't get hold of him. I talked to him on an issue on Brown Road this week. I called him at 10 o'clock, and before 2 o'clock, he called me right back and wanted, and didn't know what it was. He didn't have no idea. Called me right back. So I don't know what the deal was there. But he will call you back. And I do think that he should be in this picture big time. He's one that's out there every day, delegating the work, expediting what needs to be done. The one thing I was told about upkeeping county roads, that's another thing. You pave them from now on, but then you got to turn around and start fixing them. And it was put to me here just the other day, said, building a road is like rolling out a roll of concrete wire. I don't know anybody ever done that here. Mm-hmm. If you ain't got a tractor on it or somebody, he said it, when you roll it out, it's rolling right back up behind you. I thought that was a good scenario of what road work is. And I don't think a lot of people realize what it actually takes to build a road, a good road. Not just run out there and throw off a place to spread the marijuana, but build a road that will last and up. I'm going to say 90% of people in the country have no idea. And one more thing, our governor, I seen him months ago on statewide TV. He's lobbying for this tax to go through. And I agree with him 100%. If you don't believe it, get out and drive our road, drive Highway 5, drive between where Mr. Charlie just finished that stretch at Jacksonville. Through town, it's terrible. I-40's falling apart between here and Boston. But our governor has enough sense to know that we, without good roads, and I've told this before, we cannot have any kind of progress. The road system that built the country was the railroad system. They still live in log cabins and little food plots. When the railroad system went through, the country started ahead. And then when they come back from World War II, they seen the autobahns over in Germany, and they built the interstate highway system. That dismissed that much more. But the governor, the two entities he touted when he made his speech on TV was the farmers and the tourists were the first two. Of course, then he went to transportation and schools and all that. But the two biggest economies in the state is what he touted first. And just for a sales pitch is why we need good roads. And I just everybody beats around the bush, and the guy, everybody said, well, nobody wants new taxes. Well, back when they passed this tax, they didn't really want no new tax then either. They passed it, I've told you before, they passed it because they told the rural people that it will stay to the roads and we won't bother take it, put it anywhere else. That's what passed. And the people needed roads so bad that, I mean, they were for it. And the Corn Court worked for it, and the county judge worked for it. So if it was put, it may not pass, especially right now, the way the economy's in. But that's the only thing that's going to fix everything in this county. That's all these money problems that there is in the county. You're going to have to pass it at some point, the sales tax, to take care of all of it. We can patch it up now by getting from the road fund, but down the road, I don't think it'll sustain.
Judge Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good come. Somebody hollering. I don't know who it is. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Hey, Zach, you're coming through twice because you're on two different lines.
I'm going to mute one of his, so I think you're good, Zach. Go ahead.
I apologize. I thought I had muted myself on one. I apologize. I just want to just say a couple things. So first off, there's been a lot of statements about kicking the can down the road, and it just isn't going to work, and it's going to fix anything. And I would argue that we don't know that. We don't know that this wouldn't work. I've always been adamantly against tax increases. Maybe at some point that is the only answer. I would admit that. Maybe that's the case. But I do feel like the court should do their due diligence to avoid that on cost, and I think this is one way to do that. And we also have to remember that what we're talking about right now is basically getting an ordinance together to pass it over the ballot. like to let the people vote on it. It's not set in stone. I don't think it's fair to say that it won't work, and I don't personally think that it's the right thing to do this to automatically jump to the sales tax, because this is an option that we can propose that can potentially avoid itself. So what if it does work and we don't have to increase tax? I think that's a testament to the hard work and diligence of the court and of the judge and of all the elected officials. I mean, I think we do need to consider that and not just assume that it will fail. But before we do anything, I think we have to understand that, you know, right now we're talking about just taking this to the next meeting to put it on the ballot. So I do feel like, you know, we do need to keep a realistic picture in our mind right now, because we actually don't know what's going to happen. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Who's that?
I know there's been a lot of discussion. I know that
get your microphone, because they're not going to be able to hear you up there.
I know there's been a lot of discussion. I know that Justice Schock brought it up in reference to back in 2016. When the reallocation was first talked about. I ran numbers. I pulled these numbers right out of the budget books. I ran the reports right out of FI.
If somebody's speaking, it's very hard. I think there's a phone muted that we were picking up some good audio, but I can't hear anything at this time.
If you'll come closer to the laptop.
Okay. Start again. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Another Justice Schock brought up that in 2016, when the reallocation was first brought to light and considered and brought to the court, that there was an abundance built up in the county road sales tax and also in the county road fund. I pulled budget books, I read reports in FI, I put it in a spreadsheet not only for the county road sales tax but also for the criminal justice sales tax and also for the county road fund. To show what money is budgeted, what money is cash carryover, how much is actually getting left over every year, how much is going into next year that's not being spent. There is money that is not being spent. I don't know the county roads plan. I know that last month when we came before the court and asked for our six positions, we had to stand up here, I think, at least 2 hours to discuss the six positions. The county road appropriated $1.6 million within 5 minutes without a county road plan, without documentation. Every time we come before this court, and I can say for at least myself, when I took the position when Justice Schock put me in the role that I'm in today, every time I come before this court, I come with you with evidence and support, documentation. We want you to know the information. We want to be transparent and honest with you. We have told you from then and even before then that the sheriff's office needs more funding. We are having to compromise areas within our department in order to fix problems when they arise. We cannot foresee anything for the future with our department without more financing and funding coming to our department. That's why this grant was such a huge opportunity for us, because if we did not receive that grant, there is no light at the end of the tunnel getting positions. There is no option. I have budgeted to the maximum, and we spend it for the most part of our criminal justice sales tax budget. Between all of our funding options, criminal justice sales tax is our largest source other than county general. We get approximately, I think, 52% of county general funding is appropriated to our three departments. I think I've ran the numbers. And county general appropriated $11.5 million this year, and we got right over $6 million. And that was between the sheriff's department, county jail department, and in the juvenile jail grant. And out of those two departments, it's all employees and benefits for the most part. We have postage, and we have medical costs there. We don't have expenses over in county general. All of our expenses are on criminal justice sales tax. We've had to flip all of those. Because every year when the court has to cut county general, we're having to still pay those bills. Those bills still exist. The problems still arise. And I understand people in the audience, and I agree with all of the mayors. I understand your problems. That's why we want We understand the money problems. Believe me, I've looked. And we try to do the best we can. But our officers across our whole department are tired. We just need to have a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, I'm being honest. There is money here that is not being budgeted for. And not just for this year, but for annually. Not being budgeted for across the line in county road sales tax and in county road fund. And it depends on what their plan is. But the Quorum Court as a whole is not making them produce evidence to show what that plan is or why it has to happen. There's a state law, Arkansas Code Annotated 14-14-802, says providing of services generally. A county government, and I've read this before in Quorum Court, so I'm not, I mean, kind of an auto repeat, but a county government acting through the county Quorum Court shall provide through ordinance for the following necessary services for its citizens. It says shall. The administration of justice through several courts of record of the county. That's number one. Number two, law enforcement protection services and the custody of persons accused or convicted of crimes. That's number three. Number three, real and personal property tax administration, including assessment, selection, and custody of tax proceeds. Number four, court and public records management, as provided by law, including registration, recording, and custody of public records. And number five, all other services prescribed by state law for performance by each of the elected county officers or departments of county government. And then it goes on to B, which is a county government acting through the Quorum Court may provide, not shall, through ordinance for the establishment of any service or performance of any function not expressly prohibited by the Arkansas Constitution or by law. And it goes on to read, these legislative services and functions include, but are not limited to, the following services and facilities. There is a laundry list of things that the county Quorum Court may provide funding through ordinance for. Letter C within that laundry list is community services, which include letter I, animal control services, and letter V, libraries, museums, civic center auditoriums, and then further down in the laundry list, letter G, transportation services, including roads, bridges, airports, aviation services, ferries, docks, parking services, and public transportation services. Those are mains. I live this life. I've worked here. This is my only career I've ever really had in Faulkner County. I worked at a bank prior to then. I don't have a college degree. I proudly say that because I know what I know because I research it. This is what I live, this is what I do. And I only work here, my husband works here. He's a law enforcement officer. And if you've ever lived that life as either a law enforcement officer yourself or as a spouse, you will understand why I get emotional and why I'm invested in this. You sit here and say that people have volunteered their time to pave a road or put in gravel. Have you ever seen what they've done on a daily basis? What they've had to go through, what they see? When you call, yeah, you may not need them as often as you drive down that road, but you want to make sure they're there. You hope that they're there if something bad happens for you. I'm telling you right now, our budgets are so tight. I don't know where we're going to sit for criminal justice for 2021. We are in the negative. We are over budgeted for in criminal justice sales tax right now. If we have to spend everything because I budget off of past for future, off of our expenses, we won't be able to budget as much money next year because we are into our reserve possibly. We need your help as a county. The legislators, the lawmakers even said you shall provide for these services. I love driving down my paved road, but I would much rather have an officer come help me when I call 911 and know that they're going to get there and they're going to have the equipment and the people to take that on and that they're not going to be so tired and stressed and just spent from day in, day out things that they're not going to be their best when they get there. We're asking for help. And you're not even the ones choosing to do it. You're just choosing to put it on the ballot. numbers, I would be more than welcome to pass them out, or I would email them to you, and you can let me know.
Thank you, Ms. Woodley. Maria.
Your Honor.
Make a statement, sir.
Jim.
Ms. Woolley, I appreciate the statement you just made. I appreciate all the deputies. I appreciate the sheriff. Being a retired law enforcement officer, I can tell you that I know the things that they see, and I relive those things every night when I close my eyes. I can tell you that my stance has been, and probably for the most part will be, when I come to these meetings, I tend to listen more than I talk. Because I think that if you listen, you tend to hear both sides and you weigh everything before you make your vote. I can tell you right now that the sheriff's office has an issue, and that issue is with funding. That is front and center. They are required under law to do certain things. They have to do those things. That's not a, well, I'd like to pave a mile of road. It's, I have to do these things. That is a given each and every day. And we as a court are responsible for making sure that they have the resources that they need. Now, I may be on the minority. I don't know. We haven't taken a vote on anything. But I can tell you this. If you don't support your law enforcement, one of these days you're going to need them. And if they don't have one to respond, Sheriff, can you tell me how long, if somebody is on the south end of the county and somebody has to respond to the north end county of the county, what's the average response time?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it, depending on where that's at, it could be up to an hour. Maybe even longer than that.
If you're the one sitting there and you've got somebody breaking into your house, is an hour long enough? Are you willing to wait that long? Are you willing to sacrifice a little wear and tear on the road to make sure that the people that you are sworn to serve don't have to suffer that? That's my comment. Thank you.
I don't think any of us doubt just what you said. We all agree to that.
Right.
Sheriff, I mean, we all want law enforcement when we need it. But y'all have got way more problems than just this. I think this is what we want y'all to look at, and we'll support whatever. But I've said in countless meetings about 911, and they want us to help the cities help pay for it. I've been more for court meetings and heard those ladies from the animal rights or animal, you know, control for Parker County. Y'all know there's a bad need for animal control in Parker County. I've heard all this stuff today, but if you put it on the ballot and it don't pass, what happens to those deputies then from the grant? Are they going to be gone? Nobody has said that. Just a question. And I think every mayor in this room, if you will, I mean, look at the numbers. Don't just say half a cent. Say a quarter of a penny on a tax. To go with a half, make it 0.75. Instead of 0.5 up. And if you educate the people, like the sheriff did earlier, they'll vote for that.
Well, they can go to other things. They're educated.
You got to educate. Yeah. And the sheriff, what he said, that first off, people can't turn that down. They won't turn that down. But you got to educate them. That's just my two cents.
Mayor, thank you. We go by out.
Okay.
You want me to say something?
You said you came to listen, but if you want to say something, you sure can. Absolutely.
I thought I wasn't going to say anything, but I changed my mind. Folks, it's been a tough year. There's no question about it. There ain't nobody having the fun I'm having. But it's a challenge. We started off the year looking at things we could do to improve our county. Number one is the census. Anybody care to tell me how many folks are in the census is based on Parker County right now? 113,000. I think it'll be closer to 140 when we get a good census. That's a pretty good jump. But it's 10 years, and it's going up every year. And I focused on it on that some other things slide. I thought the census was so important, and the mayors that are here have really worked on trying to get the census because it's more than money in our pocket. Another thing that we look at, and we look at pretty often, is assessments of property in the county. Our assessments of our real estate property has broke $2 billion and is growing at about 7% a year. 7%. $125 million this last year. It's going up. There's more meetings than I care to admit that I've sat in on trying to get the 0.5% sales tax extended and all the game plan. It's critical to Faulkner County that the state 0.5% sales tax stays in place like it's already been. Not an increase in an extension, but it helps Faulkner County. Some of you do not know this, but in about a year and a half, Faulkner County is fixing to take over the 911 system that today the city of Conway pays 53% of it, and just in about 18 months, the county is fixing to get to take over all of it. It's going to be under the county. It's not going to be split for the city and the county. We're going to have to look at how are we going to fund 911, and it's critical today. 911 is continuing to be a pretty good bite out of overall budget right now. It did help with what they passed last year on the tax on phones, and that's been a big help. I don't know if we're ready to take on full responsibility for 911. Somebody's going to have to come up with money. There are three major projects that are staring us right in the face in the county. The difference before they happen or not is going to be the county's agreement to come with their share. Improvement projects in the county. 89, from Mayflower to Tulsa, county's going to be asked to share. The loop that Mr. McClung mentioned, 64 to 65, projected cost $80 million. I have no idea what our share will be, but I'll bet you we get a share. And I'll bet you if we can't make it, our share, it doesn't happen. That's just it. If you say you can't make it, it ain't going to happen. The other is that City of Conway is trying to figure out how to do the rest of the South Loop from where it stopped to Hogan. In discussion, how much can the county kick in has not been asked. But it's going through part of the county. We'll be asked to treat. Those three major projects, well, I know of, I don't know of the other. The fact that the Coram Court a few years ago let us pay the city's part of the new 25 relocation has made your area to grow in this area in the county. We invested $4.5 million there and paid their part. This also the south end of the county was around by. It's just a challenge what you do. We can live with it. Hell, there ain't no question about it. What are you gonna do, Judge? We do this to me. I'm going to keep having fun, and I'm going to live with it. And I want you on record. I'm going to keep having fun, and I'm going to live with it. I'm going to try to find money anywhere I can in these other things. Now, I know a lot of you are really interested in the census, but you ain't turned one tap on trying to get folks to register in this room. Folks, that's the most important thing we face right now, is getting an accurate count on our census. Last fall in this nation, there was a survey done of this nation. The number one issue in the nation, improved infrastructure. Number one. Health care fell right below it. I forgot what the others in the rank, but the number one issue in the nation last fall, right now I think that's changing. The number one issue, improved infrastructure. So that's why I say I come to listen, but here are things that's happening. We know it's going to happen. We got to try our best to help and go along. That's all.
What's the 911 going to cost?
Do what?
What is the 911 going to cost? You think the estimate?
We don't have the estimate. We don't know whether they're going to allow two systems for the county or just one. We think they're going to allow one. It will cost less to have one. We've already told UCA we're not paying yours anymore. County paid for UCA's all these years, but we done told them we ain't paying no more. They're paying for it themselves now. So we're down to two. Greenbrier has one that's in the film, this one some, but it's not what it costs a year that eats our lunch. It's the dadgum upgrade every 5 years. It kills us.
Judge, I think lifetime is 700-something thousand and projecting over a million something.
It's projected well over a million for the next upgrade. That's coming in 2022.
Yep.
But if the city of Conway is not picking up half of the use of it, county's got to do it. And it's throughout the state. It's just not Parker County. I mean, this thing's going to change. 911 is going to have to change, but the county will have to accept the responsibility for it. I had the last one on my list is disasters. When a disaster hits, everybody pulls together. But the money putting in comes out of the county for a disaster. Luckily, we hadn't had a bad one this year, but we have had our shares in the past. FEMA steps to the plate. Since I've been here, we try to get reimbursed within 18 months. You know, and we get pretty good, what we can document, we get reimbursed. But the front money has to get paid. And I don't remember since I've been judge, that's come to the court to ask you to prove anything to help on a disaster. It's always been the road fund. Takes care of disaster. And sheriff's office, overtime's been a big issue when you have disasters. There's no question. We all pull together. And the life of me, I'm going to go back to the statement I made in 2016. It's hard as hell to fix something that ain't broke. If this county was broke, we'd be all wanting a lot more work to do. It's hard to fix something that ain't broke. And I'm sorry, just the way I feel, we're to improve on every area we got instead of trying to do it. And I'm the half-cent sales tax man told me a long time ago, when you talk about a tax increase and a fellow says he's against it, you ought to turn around and walk away right then. You ought not even give him time to just turn around and walk away. The whole country runs on taxes. The whole country. If it takes more money from taxes to run the country, you go get it. You try to get it. Now, I hadn't told that story before, but I was told that if a man says, I don't want to support the increase in taxes, you're going to turn around and walk away right there. You really should. And go ahead. Military, health care, this country, everything else. So much of it runs on taxes. We're going to see increased taxes, but whether we ask for a tax increase or not, it's going to happen. We're going to see increased taxes.
we may not get our share of the school cop. I hadn't been too aggressive on the animal control because I know we didn't have the money. We can build a shelter tomorrow, but we can't turn the lights on. But I hope someday they got one here in the county. Right now with the budget situation and all that, I don't think so. Everybody be clear. County Road does not get one quarter out of County General. County Road pays part of my salary. County Road pays part of the 911 salaries. People that work in 911, not one quarter out of County General. So just bear that in mind. County General has to support a whole lot, but it doesn't support our roads. Ms. Willis says she's getting emotional. I'm having too much fun doing my stuff, so I ain't going to get emotional. Never had that emotional fun. Yes, Sam.
I appreciate you letting me speak before. I appreciate y'all. I'm going to get some
of thank you for being on the
yes. Judge, if I might close us. And again, to all the mayors, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for your input.
Sam, why don't you make an excuse?
You know, in spite of some local leadership not supporting law enforcement in the last couple of weeks, this court can show our community what law enforcement means to us. We can support law enforcement. We can let the community know that this court supports them. And the reality is there's tons of needs. There always will be. But as Ms. Woolley pointed out, it's a fact that the law says we shall provide for law enforcement. Your Honor, I don't know if this is appropriate or not. I'll ask our county attorney. But at this point in time, I'd like to make a motion that I'm allowed to bring an ordinance to the full court with a proposal of a reallocation of the half-cent sales tax in 2 weeks.
Second.
Is that appropriate before we go forward?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Motion's on the floor and then seconded. Bring an ordinance at the next court, in 2 weeks, next court,
yes,
court meeting for the reapportionment of the half-cent sales tax. I get that right.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're hoping for any discussion to go forward. Hearing none, Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Judge, if I may, just 1 second. There's
you
trouble
got
online.
Well, you may, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. I just wanted to make sure we're clear that the motion on the table is, or excuse me, the motion on the floor is to bring the ordinance before the full quorum court at the next regularly scheduled quorum court meeting here in 2 weeks. Is that correct?
Just for a reallocation of the
It's for the reallocation of the sales tax. So we're not voting on the ordinance itself. We're just voting to bring it to the full quorum court in 2 weeks.
And we don't have the details of the ordinance right now, right?
We do not.
We don't discuss the numbers at all.
We will discuss those next week. I just want permission from this court to go forward to bring it to the full court. It won't come to the committee. I'm asking for this court to allow it to come before the full court without going to the committee.
Okay, are you asking for a 60-40 split?
I think with the in light of some of the other needs tonight and to verify, I think that's where it'll be. I am going to get with the county judge, with the sheriff. We'll talk about the 911 needs, the animal control needs as well. I think that's where it'll be, but it may be that it changes a little bit.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Why not have this go through committee?
I'm asking for the permission to bring it to the full court, so that the entire court can discuss the exact details of it in 2 weeks. We've had a great discussion tonight. Everybody's been able to give their input, but I'd like for the full court to be able to talk about it instead of just a committee.
Other discussion on the motion. Council, does that require a roll call or a voice? Or
I think it. It's up to you, but it's probably proper to go ahead and just do a roll call.
Okay. Any other discussion before we have the vote?
Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Barrett?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Cates?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
Kendrick?
Yes.
Lahowski?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Pearson?
No.
Pickett?
No.
Rowland?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
Motion does pass. I don't know what to call it. Motion does pass. All right. Other business come for this special call for court meeting tonight. Any announcements? I've got one. We've had 40 and a half inches of rain since first of the year. We normally don't see anywhere near that in a half a year. Thank y'all. Thank you, sir. Thank y'all. Hey, y'all are still here. They're not going to have the county fair. No county fair, and we'll have a livestock show, but no county fair.
3.5 hours. Oh, excuse me.
It's all week long. They're already sending out the guns for money. They've already sending out guns for money.